This is the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach.
In part two, if you will, concerning the matter of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And the last time, if you recall, we looked into Matthew, the 13th chapter, where our Lord began to speak unto us concerning this matter of the began to unfolding before us the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and he talked in reference to the kingdom of heaven, and the last time I submitted to you that there were three kingdoms amongst us. There's, of course, the kingdom of God, which is sovereign over all things, the kingdom of God, Most High, hallelujah. And then there is the kingdom of men, and then the kingdom of Satan. And then I also referenced that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven were oftentimes used synonymously or in likeness, and that's true. But as I began to search this out, and as the Holy Spirit began to minister to me and teach me more and more concerning that, and I began to look at that, he affirmed it, and he also distinguished in this matter concerning that of the kingdom of God as opposed to in reference to the kingdom of heaven. And in essence, some research that I've done, some searching that I've done, there is a contrast there concerning the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, and that being that the kingdom of heaven usually references, in my research, the kingdom of men, of only men on earth, and of mankind on earth, which really, when we look at it, really affirms that which I submitted to you concerning the kingdom of men, the kingdom of men and the kingdom of heaven being pretty much synonymous there, if you will, for the sake of our study and for the principle here that we're looking for in this study. And so our Lord, if you'll notice, our Lord came on the scene in Matthew 4:17, basically taking up the same banner that John the Baptist came on the scene, preaching the same a message. In Matthew 3:2, John says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," or the kingdom of heaven at hand, meaning near in time or place. And then Jesus came on the scene and began to preach the same thing. Repent, in Matthew 4:17, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is near in time or place. Hallelujah. Praise God. And believe me, to this day, the kingdom of heaven, hallelujah, is still near, hallelujah, in time or place, because Jesus is King of King and Lords of Lord, and he is King of the heavens. He's King of the earth. He is in the King of the first, second, and third heaven. He is King of King and Lord of Lords. He is King over the kingdom of Satan. He is sovereign and Lord over all. Amen. Because God hath set him over dominions and over authorities and over powers and over thrones. Hallelujah. Blessed be unto God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So we're just, in our Western culture, we don't really grasp the concept too readily of this matter of kingdoms. Amen. And But, you know, when we talk kingdoms, we're talking theocratic, we're talking monarchical, we're talking absolute authority. When you read in the Old Testament and you read back in ancient times, kings and kingdoms and with kings on thrones had absolute rule, had absolute authority. We have a hard time today in our culture of grasping that concept in our democratic representative republic of the people and by the people and all that good stuff. And there's nothing wrong with it. Praise God. Thank God for it. You know, I'm proud and I'm glad and thank God to be an American and part of our structure in our society here, which, by the way, is based a lot on biblical principle. Unfortunately, you know, our society just sort of took bits and pieces of the wisdom of God in the order of God, in the governments of God, the administration and operation of the kingdom of God, and just picked and chose those things that seemed to be accommodating at the time. And, you know, as part of this societal experiment that we call the United States of America. And and that's unfortunate because that's kind of like trying to have your cake and eat it too. That's kind of like trying to pick the icing off the cake, off the layer off the cake, and just, you know, just eat the cake part. Hey, it's good if you can get away with it. It may be all right eating cake, you know, but when you're trying to live a life and when you're trying to deal with men, hallelujah, then you know, you may do more damage than good, because it's hard to try to correct your societal experiments once they've gone awry. It may take a few years to effect them, but it takes generations to get them right. And we're starting to learn that as a 400-year-old nation, which in as far as nations go, is just an adolescent type stage, if you will. But nevertheless, we're learning. I pray that by the grace of God, that if the Lord tarries, that we will step back and take a honest, realistic examination of ourselves and come to our senses before we destroy our very selves as we move forward as a nation of people. But praise God. I want to move beyond that realm, and I want to look at the kingdom of God and the kingdom amongst the kingdom of men, i.e. the kingdom of heaven, of whom the Lord have come. The Lord gave his only begotten son. Hallelujah. The Lord sent his son among men. Hallelujah. To dwell among men. Hallelujah. To set the order among men, that men may please God and may get back and to be restored into a right relationship with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's just get back on point here and look at this matter concerning these parables that the Lord seems to be rapid firing back to back to back. It's amazing how the Lord seemed to come on the scene and began to turn the hearts of men, hallelujah, from this matter of the earthly sensual being of the first Adam, hallelujah, begin to turn us toward things that are eternal, hallelujah, things that pertain to life, things that pertain to the last Adam, hallelujah, who is a life-giving spirit, hallelujah, began to convert us, to change our direction and our thinking, hallelujah. And, you know, as such as it was with Israel, who I would offer represents that, the matter of the first Adam, hallelujah, and all of its glory and all of its beauty and all of its goodness, hallelujah, that was created in the image and likeness of God, as we see in the Genesis account all the way up, hallelujah, through Malachi and some parts, even the struggle that we deal with today in dealing between matters of of the first Adam, that being earthly and sensual and carnal and fleshly, as opposed to that of the last Adam, which is a life-giving spirit. And moving forward, you're going to hear me start distinguishing between this matter of the first Adam and the last Adam, because I offer to you that it is pivotal. It is the abundant life. It is the eternal part. It is the place that God has purposed to take us. It is our ultimate destiny in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, that we are to be conformed to his image and his likeness, that we are he expects us to grow into the fullness and stature of him. And this is the new man that Paul talks about, hallelujah, in Ephesians, and that we are the new man that Paul talked about in Colossians, that the new man that the revelation of Jesus Christ was teaching Paul, and was taking this man of God who grew up, hallelujah, in the first Adam, grew up a Hebrew of Hebrews, grew up a Pharisee, grew up highly taught and highly knowledgeable and with high credentials concerning all of the glory and all of the things that pertain to the first Adam, but then showed him that of all of that, man still come short. Hallelujah. Romans 3:23, of the glory of God. And that's the only problem. That's the major problem in the distinguishing of that between the first Adam and the last Adam, is that of the first Adam, with all of his goodness and all of the creative blessing that God bestowed on him, because God did create and make the first Adam. God did declare that he was good. God did bestow upon him his attributes. God did, hallelujah, set him in authority upon the earth. And God did make him from the earth. And God did all those good things. I never want to take away from that which is pertains to the first Adam, because God honors that, and God recognizes that so much that God sent, came himself, hallelujah, in the form of a man, in that which he created in the first Adam, to redeem man, to reconcile man, to change man, to restore man, hallelujah, not only back into a right relationship with him, not only to all that he had in the first Adam, but God, hallelujah, did exceedingly abundantly above that. Hallelujah. You can't be God's giving. You can't be God doing. God never satisfied with just enough, y'all. But God did even more, and then restored even a better hope, a better covenant, a better promise. He made a better man. He made a new man in us. He did exceedingly abundantly, and he made in us the new man, hallelujah, hallelujah, in the image and likeness of Christ Jesus, the first fruits of the new creation, hallelujah, in him. Oh, bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so Jesus came on the scene. Hallelujah. That's the one thing I love about our Lord, is that the Lord knows where he was headed. The Lord knows what he was about. He knows what his charge and his call and his assignment and his ordained, decreed, consecrated authority and power is. He knows what his anointing is. Hallelujah. Amen. He knows what God had willed and had charged and had commanded him to do. Amen. And that is to restore man back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Back into the abundant life. Hallelujah. The life evermore. Hallelujah. The newness of life that God have purposed for us. Amen. And so Jesus came on the scene, amen, turning us toward that direction, amen, and rooting up and plucking up and tearing down all the old fleshly carnal regimes that had set up thrones and dominions and powers. The Lord immediately began to attack them and began to identify them and began to show us a new and a living way, hallelujah, a new and better way, hallelujah, a new and more perfect way in him, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen, hallelujah. And so the Lord began to do these things, hallelujah, by comparing, by bringing before those that were amongst him in that age, And even by faith, those of us that are looking into his word right now, these principles and these commandments and these life-giving word pictures our Lord presents before us to teach us concerning the matter of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Among men. Thank you, Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord, that, for what you're doing. We bless you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name for teaching us. And we pray you continue to just pour your glory up, your might and your wisdom and your knowledge and understanding upon us, Lord God. Hallelujah. And so in Matthew, the 13th chapter here, at the 24th verse, our Lord embarks upon another parable, and he talks about this matter of tares among wheat. And the scripture reads, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From where then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Hallelujah. And so, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bless us now, Lord. And so the Lord, if you will observe, the Lord went on to rapid fire some other parables back to back to back. And he began to, he brought forth some other parables, a couple of more after that. But interestingly enough, while they were, in verse 36, if you will turn there, after Jesus had sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, and they say, Lord, will you please explain to us, amen, the parable of the tares of the field? And then the Lord began to break it down. The Lord began to share with them. Because remember, the Lord said back over in the beginning of this chapter, he said, Lord, when they asked him, well, Lord, why are you speaking to them in parables? And he said, because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Amen. And aren't you glad today? Aren't you blessed today that the Lord has given us in this age in which we live, this time in which we live, in the realm of creation, amen, to know and to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God that was hidden through the ages. Oh, bless the Lord, y'all. We don't know how blessed we are. We just seem to take it for granted sometimes how good that the Lord have blessed us to come to know and to understand these mysteries of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so the Lord began to point out some things unto them. And so it's good. Isn't it good to know we can go to the back of the book? Hallelujah. It's good to know the Lord gives us the answers. Hallelujah. The Lord withholds no good thing from us. Amen. If we'll just ask. You see how the disciples, because they ask, you remember we talked about when we pray about this principle of asking and seeking and knocking. Well, the boys came to him and they asked. They say, Lord, will you please explain to us that we may know, that we may understand concerning this parable of the tares. And the Lord immediately began. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't upbraid them. He didn't put them down. He didn't talk about them. Didn't call them ignorant or stupid or profane or nothing. But he immediately he began to explain to the disciples and to us this day, he that will have a desire to know and to understand will have ears to hear concerning these powerful principles. The Lord said, in the parable, the field is the world. And so now when we talk about the world, we kind of get thrown off, if you will, behind this matter of the world. You know, the Bible, it seems to be sort of contradictory. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then on the other hand, he says, he that will be a friend of the world cannot have no part with God, over in 1 John. So it seems kind of contradictory. And the Lord say, if the world hates you, you know, be not surprised, because the world hated me. Well, here I may offer that maybe this will bring some clarity amongst this matter, because we're going to, as we begin moving into some other segments about knowing our enemy, one of these enemies we're going to be talking about is this matter of the world. So we might as well touch on that now and begin to distinguish and identify exactly what we're talking about here, so that we will have some understanding concerning this matter. If I may offer that this context of the world is, in one context, the earthly state of human existence. The Greek words are cosmos on one hand, and then aeon on the other. And so if I may offer, just for our understanding, what one means as opposed to the other, cosmos identifies to us the earthly state of human existence, the earth with all its inhabitants, the whole of mankind, the human race, human society, if you will. A period. It also can denote a period or age in human history. So when we talk about in this matter, the context of what we're talking about for here in our text here, that the field is the world, the Lord is saying, is talking about the earth with all its inhabitants. Amen. The earthly state of human existence. And if I may offer, that is the context of what John 3:16 meant. Then the Lord, it said, God so loved the world. God so loved the earth with all its inhabitants. He so loved the whole of mankind, which he created and made in his image and likeness. Amen. The human race, human society is the context of that which that God loved, and which the Lord here is saying that the field is the world, the whole of human mankind. And then another context of this word world, aeon, the Greek word, are the concerns of the earth and its affairs as distinguished from heaven, is the pursuits and interests of this life as distinguished from the life to come. In other words, secular affairs as distinguished from sacred. Yeah. The context of this idea of the world, this use of the word world, is that of the section of mankind engrossed in the concerns and pleasures of this life, as a result, are often held to constitute the ungodly part of mankind, or what we might say is worldly persons. Yeah, the customs and practices or interests of men as social beings. So that is the context of the world in that aspect, that when the Bible talks about be ye not friend of the world, be not, if the world hates you, yeah, men that are more concerned about the pleasures in this life as opposed unto the life to come. Yeah, men who are engrossed in the affairs of this life, amen, rather than concerning the things of God, that we pray that you are beginning to turn your heart toward this day, and that the reason why you are listening is that you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for the truths of God's word. Amen. And so we are here to sow these seeds of faith into your knowing, into your understanding, that prayerfully it will quicken a desire in you to search the scripture for yourself, to seek out these truths, these mysteries concerning the kingdom of God that God is revealing in this age, and this period, if you will, or this age in human history that we are talking about in this world, hallelujah, that we live. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so the Lord in verse, back in our text in Matthew 13 and 38, the Lord explained, first of all, let me back up to 37. He said that he that soweth, thank you, Jesus, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man, capital S-O-N, and that would be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord often referred to himself as the Son of Man. The Lord is so meek and so humble. Amen. The Lord is so good. I love how the Lord really teaches us how to live and how to walk among each other and among men and in the world. Amen. He said that he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. And that's it. If I may digress a little bit, I'd like to just go back and look, if you would, at that first parable that the Lord brought before us that we looked at when we talked about the seed and the ground. And there at the end of that parable, he said that, verse 23, Matthew 13 and 23, but he that received seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word, come on somebody, and understandeth it, who also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60 and some 30. Now, in retrospect, if we would just kind of look at that, examine that a minute, look at that, it's as if you will, that the outcome of that seed, amen, that seed from this good ground, amen, the seeds that come from the witness, that fruit that is brought forth, amen. That fruit is brought forth, and then that fruit is more seed. Oh, I love how the Lord here uses this analogy of nature. Y'all, I saw a good special on a PBS channel, and it talked about nature. And it talked about the trees, if you will, and talked about in nature how that trees and other seed-bearing plants, how that they go through great sacrifice, oh, glory to God, to propagate themselves, how that they turn themselves into beautiful fruit that is good to the taste and good to look at, amen. And in that fruit is the seed that allows them to propagate themselves throughout the world, throughout the earth, amen. And how that if that tree, if that plant has to sacrifice its fruit, amen, to propagate that seed, it's willing to do that so that it may give life and that it may maintain life and that it may grow and that it may develop and that it may live on and on and on. And that is such a beautiful picture here that the Lord is painting for us concerning the kingdom of heaven, is that we should have that attitude in our witness and in our walk and in our life, that we are willing to sacrifice our time and our talent and our treasure for the kingdom of God and for the glory of God, to propagate the good news, hallelujah, of the word of life, hallelujah, that concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the gospel of grace, the good news that we have been given to carry throughout the world, hallelujah. Amen. And if we will set ourselves in that mindset and let that word picture take hold of us, and every time we see a tree or eat a fruit and cut a fruit and see that seed, cut that watermelon and see that seed, cut that cantaloupe and see those seeds, amen, and how that piece of fruit is willing to sacrifice itself that we may take of it and partake of it, amen, and scatter it, amen, as we take those seeds and as we cast them away, amen, we think we're getting rid of waste, amen, but that plant knows that it is fulfilling its purpose of propagating itself throughout the world. Oh, glory to God. If we would just set ourselves, amen, that we will, as nature teaches us, amen, and as the Lord is using this example, amen, if we will take that same mindset and just wherever we go, just scatter and just propagate the seeds of life, the words of life throughout the world. Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you what, praise be to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God will be glorified. Hallelujah. And the church will be edified. The church will always be pregnant. Amen. With souls that will spring forth. Amen. Out of this world. Amen. If we will just take up the banner. Amen. And just sow seeds of life wherever we go and everywhere we set our foot. Know that we are about life. Amen. We are born again. We are back to that principle I was espousing unto you concerning that of the last Adam, that wherever we set our foot, amen, wherever we go, there ought to be life, amen. Life ought to spring forth. Wherever we tread, our feet tread, when we leave that place, life ought to spring forth, amen, hallelujah. The Lord says signs and wonders shall follow us, hallelujah. We don't always have to see, amen, the result. We don't have to physically see it to know it by faith, amen. We have to know by faith that if we are, hallelujah, are the children of God, as the Lord says, amen, that wherever we go, life, amen, ought to spring forth, amen. Thank you, Jesus, amen. For in our text, the Lord said back in his explanation of the parable in Matthew 13:38 that the field is the world and the good seed, come on somebody, are the children of the kingdom. Amen. Are you getting the picture now? The good seed, hallelujah, the good seed, some that beareth fruit. Yay, hallelujah, out of the good ground, amen, some that bringeth forth, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30, that good seed are the children of the kingdom. Are you the child of the kingdom today, the child of the kingdom of God? Hallelujah, bless you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Are you a child of the king? Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, amen. And then the Lord goes on to explain, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Now, in my searching out the scripture, in my searching this out and looking at this matter of tares, it's an interesting phenomenon here. It's an interesting what the Lord is teaching us, because this is based on actually reality. This is not a fairy tale. This is not just something the Lord just plucked out of the sky. This kind of thing actually went on. Men would actually do this kind of thing one to another. And tares in their seed state and in their first seedling states when they sprout up are identical to wheat. Yeah. Amen. They look just like wheat, if you will, and so when they first spring up, they're identical. You can't tell one from the other. Amen. As they spring, the only time you know that the tares show themselves is when they mature. When they become full grown during the time of harvest. And what they do is they turn black and ugly and nasty looking. Amen. And oh, what a contrast. Are you getting the picture here? Glory to God. That of the children of the kingdom and then the children of the wicked one. Oh, Lord God. You see, the Lord. the Lord is saying, it seems the Lord is saying here, is that when we start out, amen, amen, we all look alike in our walk. We all look alike in our talk. We all look alike in our dress and our little churchianity expressions and things. But oh, as we all start growing and as we start maturing, as life begins to spring forth in us, amen. And as we come to the time, as we enter this age in which we're in, amen. Then now the true is starting, the real from the counterfeit is starting to be distinguished. And somewhat, I would offer that as that was Paul is saying that he saw expressly that in this last age, in the latter days, that, you know, apostasy would ring forth in the church. In other words, I think what the Lord is saying to us, what Paul is seeing, and what the Lord was teaching us in his principle, is that the tares are starting to spring forth in the church. Amen. And an odd thing is starting to happen now, is that, hallelujah, amen. And so what has happened is too late. In the parable, the Lord, remember the Lord said back over in the parable when they said, well, shall we root them up now? I said, no, it's too late. Amen. Shall we go and gather them up? The Lord said, no. That's why you try to gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Amen. Amen. Y'all, we're just going to have to trust the Lord to when he comes in the harvest in that day. Lord God, that he will separate the real from the counterfeit. The wheat from the tares. Amen. Because we will do more damage than good. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we sometimes mistake someone who is going through that may be overtaken in a fault, or maybe in a stage of rebellion, or maybe just acting out. We may be thinking them full of the devil when all they need is they need to be covered in love. They need to be prayed for. They may need a degree of rebuking. They may need correcting. Amen. But you know, we'd be ready to throw everybody out the church. We'd be ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Amen. Amen. But God said, not so. Amen. If you will. The Lord said, not so. I'll deal with it when I come. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, because the enemy that did this thing is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And remember, we talked about in this matter of the world, some of your Bibles may say it's the end of the world, but the age is a period, or this context of the world is that period, or that stage in human history. Amen. When the Lord, in that day that the Bible talks about, when the Lord himself will come forth and gather. And here's, if you will, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I would offer that the picture is that time over in, I believe in Matthew, in 7th chapter, where the Lord says, Matthew 7:21, and the Lord says that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Amen. And that's the principle there, y'all, is that we have to do that which is the will of the Father. The Lord said again in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. And what was the new commandment he gave us? That we have love one for another. Amen. That we do good unto one another. Amen. And he went on to say, goes on to say in 7:22, many will say to me in that day, when he sends the angels in the harvest, when he starts separating the wheat and the tares, the real from the counterfeit, you know, some folks that we thought was the devil, amen, the Lord sets on his right hand, and some that we thought was sure enough angels and sure enough children of God, you may see the Lord setting them on his left hand. You know, he may be separating the sheep from a goat, amen. But the Lord knows them that are his. Come on, somebody. And he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not, listen here, y'all, have we not prophesied in your name? We're talking about church folk, y'all. We're talking about folks in Christendom, amen. And we're talking about folks who profess to know the Lord, profess the name of Jesus. Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have we not cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? You know, it's going to be some interesting conversation in that day. You know, I'm just curious in that. I'm just wondering in that day some of the conversation that's going to be going on with the Lord. Well, Lord, you know, we kept them women straight. Amen. Lord, you know, we kept them niggers straight. Lord, you know, we kept them Jews straight. We kept them straight for you, Lord. And the Lord said, and then when I professed unto them, but I never knew you. Amen. I never knew you. You never desired to know me intimately and personally in relationship. You were so busy being religious and legalistic and so busy keeping everybody straight till you never bothered to know me intimately and personally. So depart from me, you that work lawlessness, you that work iniquity, amen, lawlessness, amen, that thing which defies the kingdom of God, that thing which is totally contrary to the last Adam, this contrary to the new commandment that the Lord requires us to live. Paul said, we therefore know no man after the flesh, amen, because we are the new man in Christ Jesus, and many are so quick to run back to the flesh and the carnality that separates us by our gender and by our state of being in this old world, until we fail to see who we are in Christ Jesus. And one day God is going to judge all of that foolishness. In that day God is going to judge it all, amen, and we will all have to give an account for every idle word that we spoke, every word of racism and cronyism and all those other isms that are out there that tend to set up walls between us who profess faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, have mercy upon us all. We better repent, y'all, because if judgment will begin, it's going to begin in the house of the Lord. Amen. And the Lord himself will judge these matters. Oh, God, have mercy. Hallelujah. Have mercy upon your church. Amen. But the Lord is telling us in this parable that we need to recognize. Yeah. We need to recognize, amen, what is the picture here? What is the essence here? Is that the enemy has done this. This is the work of the children of the devil, amen, hallelujah, amen, who have presented themselves as angels of light, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we better check ourselves. We better understand scripture. We better understand the word of God. Amen. We better understand truth. We better walk in truth and live the truth and know the truth. Because when you know the truth, hallelujah, he will set you free. And let me tell you, truth is more than just ideals. Truth is more than just some principles and some precepts and the statutes. Truth is Jesus Christ, hallelujah, or rather Jesus Christ is truth incarnate, amen. And when you know Jesus, you know truth, amen. You will recognize truth when you hear it. You will amen truth when you hear it. Ah, glory to God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Glory to Jesus, because in that day shall the righteous, verse 43, shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then he goes on to issue that warning again. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He who will desire to know and to understand these things, and to hide them into their heart, and to take them into their heart, to feast upon them, hallelujah, to walk in them, hallelujah, to live them, to be them in their very being, amen. As in the spirit and in the likeness of the last Adam, of Christ Jesus, our Lord and our God, the first fruits of creation, amen. Then, hallelujah, you will abide, hallelujah. You will shine forth, amen, on earth as you will shine forth in heaven. Oh, Father, we bless you today. Oh, Lord, we exalt you today. Father, we give you the glory, the reverence, and honor, and thanksgiving today. This day, Lord God, we bless you, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, I pray, Lord, that something was said or done, Lord, to encourage that brother or sister, Lord God, to stand and to walk unto your glory, Lord. Hallelujah, oh, Lord God, to glorify you, Lord God, to be fruitful unto your glory, Lord God, to live a life that glorifies you, Lord, to walk according to your will and to your purpose, Father. We bless you today, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, and we pray in your mighty name, Lord God. Oh, bless you, Lord Jesus. Listen, I gotta go. Amen. I have enjoyed this. Amen. I wish I hadn't got so carried away yesterday. I believe the Lord has some things, but praise God, His will be done. I pray I make it on time today. I'm just excited about Jesus. I'm excited about what He's doing. I pray that y'all will take some time and just reach out to us. Just holler at us. Amen. We'd be glad to hear from you. Amen. Again, well, God bless you. And we'll talk to you next time. Maybe if you'll look at some of those other, listen to some of those other segments, previous segments that talks about how to get hold of us. If you just tune in next time, though, we'll get that information to you. Right now, I got to go. Amen. Lest I be doing this one again. Hallelujah. Praise be to God for His unspeakable gift. We talk to you then.
You've been listening to The Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. This program is made possible by the grace of God through the faithfulness of the partners and friends of Lodestar Ministries and the contributions of listeners like you. Precious name.